Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie Fry Show, sans Annie today. She has a froggy voice, and she'll be back tomorrow, we hope. YouTube live chat poll today is grade Elon Musk and Doge's efforts so far, A, B, C, D, or F. So we have been talking about Doge quite a bit today.
Doge, the Department of Governmental Efficiency.
And here's the reason why Elon Musk and others have been taking a look. Because if you look at the waste and abuse that has run through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government.
In theory, I like what she's doing here and saying.
Yeah.
There is a missing component that I think they could go one step further and say, look, you paid for a trans opera. You're going to get to see it if you want to see it. And then they fly everybody to Ireland, and we can all see the trans opera. We paid for it.
That seems wasteful.
Oh, well, what about if we get to the DEI musical and a trans opera, which are different things, apparently, because
yes,
she listed them separately. But what about the trans comic book?
What about it?
Well, don't we all get a copy? We paid for it.
Yeah, but I thought we paid for it so that we could give it to other people.
Well, I just think right now that's making news, this is the way things happen, Brad. This is the economy of
okay,
art.
So we paid for it. You want a copy of it.
I want a copy of it because now that it's getting all this attention, it's like Hunter Biden paintings. They're valuable because people talk about them. So now that comic book's probably worth a lot more because it's in the news. That's the way things work.
What they should do is they should collect all the comic books that they printed out and then sell them to offset the cost of all the other wasteful spending in USAID.
Or talk it up so much that you raise the value, then you have the copies, then you sell them and offset the cost.
Don't print a bunch. Got to be a limited run.
Don't print a bunch like they did with the Brett Hull comics at McDonald's when I was a kid.
Oh, that was frustrating because I thought those were going to be worth a lot of money.
I did too. And they're only kind of valuable if you're our age in St. Louis.
I hadn't even thought about those until you brought it up and I was like, oh yeah.
Those were sweet though, weren't they?
I think I got my first one down at the Riverboat McDonald's.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I got that. And
that had to be toward the end of the Riverboat McDonald's.
Yes, and then I also got them I also got the St. Louis Cardinals baseball cards. You remember the classic Cardinals baseball cards that you could get at
McDonald's?
Definitely.
I had the whole set.
Had them all, too.
And you know what the hardest one to get was? And it was either Cardinals set or the Blues set. I don't remember. But it was the card set. And there was one card that was harder to get than all the others. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, no.
It was the checklist.
Oh, that's right.
That you couldn't get the checklist because they didn't make, and I don't think they did this on purpose. Now they do this on purpose and create false demand. But at the time, they're like, no kid wants to open the pack and get a checklist. But we do have to make a checklist. So they printed less of those. And then that became the one everybody wanted.
Man.
Those were the days, man.
Going back, man, you're talking about McDonald's. Like, that was the part of the field trip whenever I was in grade school. You'd go to the Arch, and then we're going to have McDonald's for lunch on the riverboat.
Oh, yeah. It was the best. Man, I still have all those. I have all the card sets. I have all my comic books. And my kids are 10, 10, and 7. And when I decide, which is not that often, like once a year max, all right, let's go through dad's old stuff. They're like glued to the TV.
Man.
They can't wait to go through my old stuff.
I remember loving doing that whenever I was a little kid.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that my dad collected enough stuff like that for me to have that experience, but I bet I would have too.
Yeah.
Especially in that era, because it would have been from the 50s and 60s. And that stuff would have been really valuable now, whatever it was. I wish you would have saved it. Well, that was some of the things that Doge is going to cut and that you're never going to get, apparently, because Caroline Levin hasn't thought that part through.
A little bitter.
I really like the sounder that we made for Doge, but I kind of like this one better. It hits a little harder.
Doge. Come on!
Yeah, there we go. That's good stuff. I think we have to use those more. So we've been talking about Doge today because that's today's YouTube live chat poll. We might as well discuss it since we're talking about it. Grade Elon Musk and Doge's efforts so far. A, B, C, D, or F. Brad, what say you?
I am an A, but because A+ isn't on here, I am very satisfied, very excited with what's going on. I know that I'm super excited about what's going on because I'm also equally horrified at what they're uncovering.
Yeah.
Like, it uncovers emotions that I didn't know I had, and it makes me angry because that's what they, like, people pay a lot in taxes, and, you know, they go out there and they're like, oh, well, we got to raise more taxes so we can pay more stuff. And finally, somebody's going, where's this money going? What do you need it for? The tax the millionaires and the billionaires.
But that was Elizabeth Warren, wasn't it?
That was Elizabeth Warren. Mm. So sad. But they go out there and they say they want more taxes. They rip on Trump's tax cuts. Those are tax cuts for the wealthy. All this other stuff. You know what? You don't need the money because you're not using it for a good purpose. This is just honeypot stuff. You're using it for pet projects. And, like, I thought they were overpaying for plants and stuff like that. You know, weird stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that you'd hear Rand Paul being like, oh, shrimp on a treadmill.
Right,
and all
stupid,
that kind of
but,
stuff.
I mean, they get in there and we're talking about DEI musicals in foreign countries. Why are we trying to shape the culture of our Western allies?
Of Serbia and Ireland and Peru.
Leave them alone.
Why are we doing this? It's not just those things, though. That shows kind of the heart behind it, which is important. But, you know, it was $40,000. That's a lot to me, but $40,000 is absolutely nothing to one of these agencies. Well, it doesn't mean it shouldn't be cut.
It's less than a rounding error in some of this stuff.
Exactly. And so, again, that's stuff that should be cut, and it's stuff that makes headlines, so I'm glad they talk about it. But ultimately, these things, I mean, the more you look at them, the more you put them under the microscope, mm-hmm. the more they start to really just look like money laundering operations.
Yes.
And it's sad to know that this is stuff that's been going on for years. And here's what really bothers me about it. Probably everybody in Congress kind of knew that was going on. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for all of her faults, tried to introduce a bill to defund USAID a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And got some Republican support, but not much. And, I mean, the bill wasn't going to go anywhere because President Biden was the president and Democrats controlled the Senate.
Yeah.
But the fact that people did know that this was a thing and wouldn't really do anything about it means they were in support of it.
Well, and the other side of that is it's Marjorie Taylor Greene introducing the bill, and they have done a wonderful job of painting her as some, like, crazy, crazy, crazy person. at the very least, everybody knows when Marjorie Taylor Greene does something, it's outlandish, outrageous. It's a get eyes on me. So whenever she says something like that, everybody's natural inclination is to think, oh, well, she's just exaggerating. But she wasn't.
Yeah. We said at the last hour that there's been all this waste, and you know they funnel these money. It's unfortunately, this is actually the way I'd like to see some of these projects go. Is that instead of the government doing it, they give it to a private charity who theoretically could do it better than the government. The problem is they pick and choose these charities to basically be Southern Poverty Law Center and these far, far left organizations that have almost nothing to do with actual charity. Even some of them have Christian on the on the label, on the title. But their whole point is to funnel money. That's why they exist. And so there's a whole lot of organizations right now that are in full-blown panic because they're sending all these workers home. They're moving this USAID under the State Department. I read it this morning that there are some employees that are exempt from this because you have to have congressional approval to get rid of them. Because if somebody went through congressional approval, you have to have congressional approval to fire them. And usually that's something that just happens behind the scenes and nobody knows it happens because everybody just rubber stamps these things.
Yeah.
This isn't going to happen here. So what Trump did is he got rid of everybody who's not one of those employees. And I think the deadline is today at 3 or tomorrow at 3.
The 7th.
So today's the 5th. Okay, so it's Friday. All of them will be fired, but then 24 hours ahead of time, some of them will find out that they are essential enough to keep. Probably not a lot of them, but some of them will. And he's recalled all these people from overseas to be home now. So if you're abroad doing work for these organizations, you're coming home. They are doing a full-throated audit on all this stuff. And the best thing about it is that it's happening. The worst thing about it is that it hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
And that's what's sad.
I've seen a lot of outrage about, there's like, oh, you're causing these people to uproot their families, that, you know, 10,000 people across the world, you're bringing them home. It didn't have to be that way.
No.
It didn't have to be that way. You could have been responsible with what the U.S. government was sending you in the first place.
Yeah. And honestly, until we heard this.
And we will win.
We will win.
We will win.
Until they went nuts and just started chanting and protesting and having press conferences over cutting government waste. The talking point I was seeing them go with as to why this was bad, because they didn't really know why it was bad. They just knew it was bad. Let me find out why it's bad later. But the one they were going with was, oh, it's really sad because we're losing so many jobs. I don't think you understand what the government does. I don't think you understand jobs. I don't think you understand why people even have jobs. Yeah. You know, people don't open companies to make jobs. They open companies to make money, and it creates jobs because that furthers the goal of making a profit. That's really basic stuff. And if you just tuned into 97.1 for the first time, you're like, I think these people might be idiots. Hopefully you did think that because you already know that that's such a basic fact.
Right.
That it shouldn't have to be said. Yet, when CBS News and whoever are writing articles that say, think of the jobs. I don't think you understand jobs. And I don't definitely know you don't understand the government.
That, or they just think that little of you, the listener.
Or the reader. Yeah. Before we get to the next break, I brought this up because it's fascinating. It's one of the things that has been in the headlines, but there's so many other big headlines right now that this fact has gone unnoticed. But I'll give it to you here. It's from Politico. Greenland's Prime Minister Mute Egede,
okay,
called for an early election on March 11th amidst geopolitical tensions. And this is now Politico's spin. Now, that was the one line you get that's factual. The rest of this is
geopolitical
spin. Geopolitical tensions caused by U.S. President Donald Trump's threats to acquire the Arctic island. They are going to have the rest of this article, by the way. I kept it up
because it's to acquire it.
Yeah, I could go into this.
It's so bad. We call it an offer.
The Politico article gives you no actual information about this election. It just keeps trashing Trump. So I looked up another article from Reuters, which is not much better, but at least it gives you a little more information on this. And I want you to be informed. Greenland's prime minister announced on Tuesday that the semi-autonomous Danish territory will hold a general election on March 11th amid interest by U.S. President Donald Trump in acquiring the Arctic island. That's a little fair, more fair. The top issues in this election, this is the important part, the top issues in this election campaign are expected to be Greenland's independence aspirations and relations with Denmark and the United States, as well as the fragile economy, which depends on fishing and Danish grants. So there you go. They called and are holding a special election that has to do with Greenland's independence. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, man. I feel like I've seen this one before. So history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And I believe Texas wanted to be part of the United States. And they wanted to be part of the United States, and they want to be part of the United States. The United States are, no, that's going to cause trouble with Mexico. Well, Texas then fought a war, declared independence from Mexico, was an independent country for a while, and then they're like, hey, we want to be part of the United States.
Ooh.
The United States is like, hey, come on in. So I'm not saying that it's going to be a war, but Greenland may want independence so that it's less messy than to join the United States.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll join the United States either. But I do know that if they are independent of Denmark, they can make a lot of big financial decisions that they can't now. Now, they already have some autonomy, so it's not as if they couldn't make any decisions. But this would be a step toward making big decisions because they could do anything they wanted at that point. Now, the one reason I think that if they declare independence, that they might still consider becoming not a U.S. state. I know that's the big sexy headline, but a U.S. territory.
Yeah,
that they actually, I think that's very possible because they have no military. In fact, the only military there is, I think, our base.
The Danish military.
Okay, well, other than Denmark, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Other than them, I think we're the only other country with some presence there. So I could see them saying, well, shoot, because Donald Trump said it. This is a big route for Russia and China. That's why he wants the island.
Well, yeah, like if you look at the North Sea, you've got Greenland, Iceland, and then England. And those are the shipping lanes you get through because Russia doesn't have a lot of warm water ports. I think maybe the only one they have is out by Ukraine. And Ukraine, they can't get out because Turkey has shut down the Dardanelles. Brought the Dardanelles back up.
Thank you.
But it's the straits that allow them to get in the Mediterranean. So their only way out from Russia, I believe right now, I could be missing one, is through that North Passage. And so they want to have U.S. and allied NATO coverage of those passages completely.
And Dardanelles is one of the Ninja Turtles, as I understand
That's Donatello.
So Reuters reporting that Greenland is going to have this special election. This is March 11th. It's actually not that far away, so we're talking about a month from now.
This
we could
wild.
Be finding out that Greenland has declared independence and could end up becoming, now this would be another process, a U.S. territory, but it's really, really interesting, the fact that this is happening. And nobody's really reporting on it. I've only seen a couple articles about it, and I had to really dig for these. So keep your eye on it. One more thing before we move past the Doge stuff and the budget and all that. We mentioned the last hour that Zelensky and some U.S. sources are saying that that $170-something billion that we sent to Ukraine or allocated to Ukraine, not even half of it actually made it to Ukraine. Where did the 100 million of the 170-something million go? They're trying to find out because somewhere between here and there, it got intercepted and moved into a who knows what.
Into a fund.
Into, a slush fund for somebody. and hopefully we'll find out where that money is. But the reason I bring that up, because we're talking about, that's $100 billion, okay? Consider that if you offered Greenland $60 billion to become a U.S. territory or a state, whatever.
Okay.
What you're saying is, I did the math wrong. I almost had it.
Almost.
It was something like $1 million per person.
Oh, yeah. Don't make that mistake. I've seen those mistakes.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't do
Elon
that.
Musk has.
I caught it. But I saw the math and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, think about it. There's only 60,000 people on the island. So you could offer each of them a lot of money. Let's say, just make it easy and say $1 million. You could offer each of them $1 million and be spending very little in comparison to how much we spend on some of these crazy programs. And by you'd be every citizen in Greenland could be a millionaire. That's the kind of offer that I think is rolling around in the back of their heads during these votes, going, you mean we could be crazy wealthy? 60,000 people. That's not very many people. That's not even the size of, like, what did I say one day? It's like roughly the size of St. Charles or something. I don't remember what it was.
Super small.
But it's very, very small. So I just wanted to bring that up and keep that on your radar as we go about our days here. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk a little bit more about things that people have stopped buying in 2024. These are ways that you could be saving money, possibly. These are ways that people have already decided to save money, and we'll get to that next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rhea, last night we heard that the U.S. Postal Service was temporarily blocking packages coming from China and Hong Kong. But now that's changed.
Yeah, Shayla, the U.S. ban on parcels from China and Hong Kong didn't last long. Less than 24 hours after implementing the ban, the U.S. Postal Service said it will resume accepting all inbound mail and packages from China and Hong Kong. This back and forth is linked to a trade fight between the U.S. and China that has led each country to impose new tariffs on each other. People in Hong Kong don't believe they should be caught up in the U.S.-China politics.
The imposing the duties and the other thing, like isekai political war, which is affecting the local people, not just in Hong Kong, but in other places too.
President Trump believes the packages from China are one of the ways that deadly fentanyl gets into the U.S. And he says China's refusal to stop it is the reason for the 10% tariffs against them. Now, many Americans like to buy clothes and household items from places like Shein or Temu. So this initial mailing suspension was worrisome for some people who recently ordered from those companies. Shayla?
Right. Important information. I'm Maria Lizignoli reporting.
Yeah, Annie actually sent that video over. She is okay. She just has no voice today, so hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. But one of the things she mentioned is something that I also have experienced, and that is that if you're using Temu, some people, you know, are saying, "Oh, you know, your packages have been delayed. Well, surprise, surprise, if you order something from Temu, your packages were already delayed the minute you ordered them.
Yeah.
They take forever
to get
here.
Do they do like drop shipping or something like that?
I have no idea. I just know that when I order it, I think whenever this gets here, great. I mean, I have no expectation because it's coming from China. I don't really order a lot on there. I think the last thing I ordered was in early December. I purchased some those flimsy little lunch boxes for my kids because they were like a buck. And I knew these are going to be 10 bucks if I order them here, but that this place has them so cheap, I'll just order a few. And when they come in, they come in, and I don't care. That's really it. That's all I've ordered.
Temu is direct from China, right?
Yeah.
So when you order it, it's whatever it takes to get from their factory to your doorstep. And maybe that's why it takes so long.
Annie just is on the chat, by the way, if you want to talk to her, which I would suggest. You talk to us, we're just idiots. talk to Annie. She knows what she's doing. They have the same policies that TikTok uses to take all your information, she says. That's very true. That's the reason I don't use it on my phone. Maybe I think I'm protecting myself by using a computer, but probably not.
Maybe not.
It's probably the same thing.
My thing is this, is I see anything that comes out of China as far as software goes, and I'm like, no, thank you. I don't care how convenient or how good it is. Remember when DeepSeek came out, that AI thing, like a week or so ago?
Yeah.
And it like shook the world.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, oh, DeepSeek, let's get that. I'm like, no.
No, don't get that. Well, it's the same though, because I'll download once in a while, and I don't do this a lot, but I'll download a game on my phone, and then it'll come up, and it's clearly got hieroglyphics
spyware
from a language I don't know, and it's probably Chinese Mandarin. And I instantly go, what did I just do? I probably just did the same thing as downloading TikTok on my phone,
yeah.
You know? I mean, it's the same stuff, but that's one of the reasons I don't order stuff a whole lot from these dropship websites or whatever from China. But man, it's tempting sometimes when things are so cheap. But
why did they put that ban in? The one that they were talking about on CBS.
Well, that's confusing because they've rescinded it now, and it's unclear whether or not somebody just misread it, because it was so fast that they changed it back to no, you can actually ship these things in. That I don't know if there was a policy that was supposed to just be temporary that halted shipping.
Are there other items that are banned from China?
I don't know. I just saw the headline that everybody else saw that all of a sudden they're not accepting packages from China, but it lasted 24 hours. So it makes me wonder if it was actually not intended and somebody implemented something they weren't supposed to.
Maybe it wasn't ready yet.
Immediately rescinded it. But it brings up a different issue that I've been wanting to talk about with Brad all day and really haven't had time. Weird dovetail here, but Brad has been researching Senator Mike Lee from Utah. Because
not Senator Mike Lee.
Who? Based Mike Lee?
Based Mike Lee.
Based Mike Lee, to see if this Twitter account is actually Senator Mike Lee.
Yes.
And you think you've discovered that it is.
Yeah, I think that he said that it is him. So I looked, there was an article from the Bulwark, and the article from the Bulwark was referring to it like, yeah, this is definitely Mike Lee, and he's a crazy whenever he jumps on his Based Mike Lee account.
So he says different things on different accounts. Is that why he has
Well,
them?
He has his senatorial account,
yeah.
And then his private account is Mike Lee, at Based Mike Lee.
So there's the official and there's the unofficial.
Yeah, Senator Mike Lee. Like, Eric Schmidt has Senator Eric Schmidt, and then he also has Eric Schmidt as his personal Twitter account. So there's a senatorial one and then his personal.
So just like me, I have at Radio Wiggins on Twitter, and then I have Stacey Dash.
Right.
Who's my burner account.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, that's accurate. Anyway, so I looked through another article, and it was, you know, I think it was a newspaper out of Utah, and they're saying, is Mike Lee wasting his time and wasting taxpayers' time being chronically online, you know? And then I saw an article in the New York Post, and what the article in the New York Post quoted was Mike Lee using his senatorial account to say that his Based Mike Lee, his personal account, got shut down for impersonation. And he's like, that's not an impersonation. That's actually me. Unban this account.
Okay, but the information you found on there, you determined to be real, which is the whole point of this, right?
Yeah, yeah, so
because this
Mike
is crazy stuff. Like, not, I shouldn't say crazy, but it's just like, whoa, what is that?
To the best of my knowledge, Based Mike Lee is Mike Lee's personal Senator Mike Lee's personal account.
Okay.
And I came across this because I like following Base Mike Lee because, like the Bulwark article said, there's some awesome stuff on there. And one of these things that came across was he makes an argument. It's a tweet thread saying that letters of marque and reprisal could be used to hamstring cartels.
What are letters of marque?
Okay. So if you remember your history, you go all the way back to the beginning, the Revolutionary War. The founder of the American Navy, John Paul Jones, he was a privateer. We called them privateers. On the other side of the world, the countries that he was raiding, you know what they called him?
Pirates.
A pirate. So letters of marque and reprisal are letters that give you the right to act as a private entity on behalf of, do acts of war on behalf of a government.
That sounds like an NGO.
Yeah. Yeah. But the idea was is that your government, like, you don't have a ship. This guy is like, I have a ship with lots of cannons on it. And they're like, all right, we're fighting them, and we're going to commission your ship to fight for us, and your payment will be whatever you plunder from them.
Oh, okay. So it really was kind of like,
right.
like official pirate.
Yeah, and on his account, he has a picture of a letter of marque from... signed by James Madison. So this is something that the United States government did do even after it was formed. And he's saying that we could start issuing these letters of marque and reprisal to private citizens to help hamstring the cartel.
Do we need to do that?
Well, if you look at the relationship we have with Mexico and all that other stuff, one of the things Donald Trump has talked about is using the military to go in and basically wipe out cartels,
yeah.
Which they could do. The United States military is the world's most formidable fighting force. I've seen some of these cartel militaries. They are tough private militaries. The United States military is better. But to do that, you have to be able to go into that country either discreetly or with that country's permission. And it would be very difficult to get Mexico's permission to send a land-based U.S. to send the U.S. military into their country to fight their citizens, really.
You know where I could see this being used, though? Because this has been an issue. If you have land that's on the border,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, depending on the administration, the Biden administration would tell people who had land that was up against the U.S. border, no, you're not allowed to do anything. Basically, commandeering their private land in a mm-hmm. sense and taking away their rights on their own land because it was close enough to the border. I could see us commissioning through these articles landowners on the border to be able to do certain things. Maybe not everything.
Yeah.
But certain things to protect their land and the border simultaneously.
Yeah. Well,
even if it's just putting up fencing or whatever, like protecting it by not allowing people on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the United States has used private military forces before. We used them in Iraq and all that stuff, security forces and stuff like that. What I see this being is more like that. They would commission these private military forces. What was it? Blackwater, I think, was one of them. Dick Cheney's company.
Oh, you're talking above my head now.
Fought in Iraq. You know, they're former military guys, former special forces guys, and then they go and they work in the private industry as these security forces, these private military forces. And I think what the argument after going through this thread that he's making is that we could issue these things to these people, these organizations, and let them go do it because they'd be faster. Because they don't have to go through Congress. The United States military has to go through Congress, or at least constitutionally they should, but we've found creative ways of getting around that. And cheaper. You know, a private military force is a for-profit organization, which means that they are looking to make profit, and they could do this at a cheaper rate than the U.S. military.
That's an interesting idea. I like the creativity of it.
What I don't like about it is I don't want every Jim Bob with a shotgun thinking, oh, I'm going to be a pirate and go after the cartel. That would get a lot of people killed.
Well, you also would have to be officially sanctioned by the government before you...
Right.
It wouldn't just be everybody.
Apply for one of these. Don't. No. No.
No. You can still apply. Just don't know if you
just
get...
turn them down.
Confirmed. All right, let's take a short break and be right back with our last segment of the day, in which we will discuss the YouTube live chat poll and give you the results, grade Elon Musk and Doge's efforts so far. By the way, I did the math in the break. If you were here 15 minutes ago, I was talking about what it would take to to make every Greenland citizen a millionaire. 60,000 people at $1 million apiece. every single citizen of Greenland would be a millionaire for $60 billion. That's how that shakes out. There you go.
Wild.
All right, stick around. We'll be right back.
Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
So the first bill that President Trump signed in his second term was the Lake and Riley Act. That was the act that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement was now to detain and repatriate illegal aliens who commit theft, burglary, larceny, shoplifting, assault against police officers, and crimes that result in serious bodily harm or death. That passed with bipartisan support. I do believe that he has just signed his second bill into law during his second term. And real quick, here's the headlines. As usual, it depends on what you're reading as to how you'll feel about this or how they want to manipulate how you feel about this. From some local news sources, Trump signs no men in women's sports executive order.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't a law then. This is just an executive order.
This is an executive order.
Okay. My fault. If you read the national news, it says it this way. So he's saying no men in women's sports. That's the headline I just read you. Here's CBS News. Trump to sign executive order that will ban transgender athletes from women's sports. So it's to the other way, right? How about this one? Washington Post. Trump's new ban on trans athletes is latest attack on transgender policies. Politico. Trump to sign order that could bar trans women from U.S. Olympic participation.
Politico sucks.
They're getting money from USAID, too, and not much longer. So we're going to go live to Trump signing this executive order.
That's
maybe.
We're going here. Come on.
Oh, no.
Should kick in.
In a few moments, I'll sign a historic executive order to ban men from competing in women's sports. It's about time. Under the Trump administration, we will defend the proud tradition of female athletes, and we will not allow men to beat up, injure, and cheat our women and our girls. From now on, women's sports will be only for women. But before going further, I want to share some very exciting news from our military. After years of shrinking force numbers at levels that nobody has ever seen before, 4 years of this we went through, and missed recruiting targets every single month, it was just announced that in December, the U.S. Army had its single best recruitment in more than 15 years. Thank you. Every single day, nearly 350 new soldiers enlisted to defend our nation, and they're very, very happy to have done so. We've done lots of interviews, and we asked why this was taking place now, and they just said there's a spirit about our country that they haven't seen in many, many years, and I happen to agree with that. But it really is clear proof that the spirit is sweeping our armed forces, and we have a great leader in Pete. As you know, we all know Pete so well. He's going to be fantastic, and so many of our great heroes, and people are starting to understand what hero is all about. So that is something that is very important. We've gotten the woke lunacy out of our military. And now we're very importantly, getting it out of women's sports. That's taking place very strongly. So in recent years, the radical left has waged an all-out campaign to erase the very concept of biological sex and replace it with a militant transgender ideology. You've heard a little bit about this, haven't you, huh? Just a little bit? Does anybody agree with them?
No.
Would be not a good thing to say yes right here. female athletes have been forced onto the front lines, and men claiming to be girls have stolen more than 3,500 victories. That's a lot. And invaded more than 11,000 competitions designed for women. Last year, a male cyclist posing as a woman competed in the 800-mile Arizona Trail Race, a very big deal in cycling, and obliterated the women's course record by nearly 5.5 hours. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it, huh? 5.5 hours. So, but you have to hear the weightlifting records. You think that's bad. The weightlifting's worse. In 2023, a man in women's power lifting broke 2 world records and outlifted his closest female opponent in one event by 440 pounds. And they continue to defend themselves, Mr. Congressman. You know that, right? They continue to defend themselves. We hope they continue onward because I don't think we can lose a race. This was one of the big reasons that we all won, and it's one of the big reasons that we had a record, a landslide like they haven't seen before, very often anyway. And who could forget last year's Paris Olympics where a male boxer stole the women's gold medal after brutalizing his female opponent so viciously that she had to forfeit just after 46 seconds, and she was a championship fighter. And actually, they had two people that transitioned, and both of them won gold medals, and they won them very convincingly. But all of that ends today because with this executive order, the war on women's sports is over.
All right, so that is the EO he just signed, stopping transgender women from playing in, I should say, men who are women playing in female sports. Annie said online there, go Lake and Riley. That's very true. If you can't see it, she is in the audience.
Riley
there.
Gaines.
Lake and Riley. I said the Lake and Riley Act. Riley Gaines. There are a whole bunch of people from the Senate in attendance today, too. And one of the things that President Trump said there that I thought bared repeating is that the Army recruiting numbers for December, so before Trump has even taken office, but after he'd won, shattered records. The New York Post reports that U.S. Army recently announced it shattered previous recruiting records, with December 2024 being the most productive December in 15 years. The branch reported and enlisted nearly 350 soldiers every day that month. Army officials announced Tuesday on social media, our recruiters have one of the toughest jobs, inspiring the next generation of soldiers to serve. Congratulations. Keep up the great work. That is from the Army recruiting officials in a post on X. So Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth took to X to share that news. And that was all before he was even the Secretary of Defense, though. So that was the Trump effect that really has pushed that in December. We'll see what it becomes now in January and February. I would imagine it just goes up. We have just a couple minutes here to discuss the poll grade Elon Musk and Doge's efforts so far. A, B, C, D, and F. Brad, earlier in the show, said that he was an A on this.
Yeah, big time A. I think that they are doing a wonderful job finding, exposing government waste, and by means of exposing government waste, they're finding a lot of corruption, too.
That's the goal. That's what we knew would happen. And the fact that it is happening is great. I'm an A on this, too.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, even on the conservative side of the aisle, are a little leery of Elon Musk. That's okay. But I'm just saying right now, what I've seen so far, I'm a full A. Ethan, you chiming in on this one?
Yeah, there hasn't been anything so far that has made the caution flags go up, in my opinion. He's doing what he said he is going to do. I think that it is comforting knowing that Trump has said, like, there's not going to be anything that's disagreed upon, he's not going to do. It's what him and his cabinet support and are with. So it's not like he can just go rogue, which I think is what people are afraid of, that he's just going to go off on a tangent and do whatever he wants. That's not going to happen.
Well, it because Elon Musk also is kind of this larger than life figure. So he's got all of this media. He does anything, he gets a lot of attention. So anybody who's that big, they view as, oh, is he a threat to Trump? Is Trump going to turn and be like, no, you're taking my spotlight or something like that? That hasn't happened at all yet.
No.
And so I'm glad to see that. If he's there just to do that job of finding and eliminating government corruption, it is a little bit, there's some drama there, though, with Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I don't know what happened there between those two guys. Vivek was very cordial, but also a little dodgy about what happened and why he's not part of DOGE anymore. I really don't know. But he's running for Ohio governor, apparently, so best to him. We'll see what happens there. The results of the poll, Ethan.
317 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. The results of this one, kind of funny, because there's not a lot in the middle. Most of it either is you really like it or you really don't like it. We'll start with the top and then roll to the bottom. 65% of people say A, 15% say B or C, 3% say D, and 18% say F.
No kidding. Well, that's a little more spread out than I thought it would be. I thought it would be straight up A's or straight up F's. And it was mostly A. So, did you say what you were on this? Did you say
yeah,
A?
Yeah, I would say A.
Yeah.
I mean, there just hasn't been enough yet to prove me wrong otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, he's done exactly what he said he was going to do. It's going to take time. He said he's going to only do this for, 2 years? But I'm like, why stop? I mean, why not do it for the full four? Unless you think you can do it all in 2 years, but I'm an A on this one. Thanks for tuning in today. This has been the Manny Fry Show. We do hope that Annie is back tomorrow. That's the plan, but we'll see how her voice is doing because you can't really talk on the radio when you don't have a voice, and that's been the situation today. Stick around for the Mark Reardon Show up next on 97.1 FM Talk. So,